Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We welcome our insider from the insiders, our man James Hamm, here with us on Dealing with KC. Hammer, seismic news in the NBA today. The Los Angeles Lakers are being sold. $10 billion. When did you decide to purchase this team? And how many boats did you sell to get the team?
Well, I had Kenny co-sign for the
loan. That's a good point.
What? We're all good.
Yeah, that's a
We're
good
all
point.
Good.
How do I get drug into this? There's
not going to be much change in, like, as Casey mentioned, you love the business of basketball, but it sure feels like with Jeannie Buss and the Buss family essentially being, you know, out as owners, the business of the Los Angeles Lakers may change a whole lot moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, I also think the league, you know, it's one thing to sit here and look at the Forbes list and see how much your team has gone up at every year. And what the Kings were over, man, were they over $4 billion or $5 billion this last year? I think it's $4 billion. Mm. But now there's a realized number. There's a real number. You know, we always talk about this whole thing. You say you have a $3 million house, but you can only sell it for $1 million. They hate to tell you, you got $1 million house. All of a sudden, there is a $10 million NBA franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that all the other franchises, not only are they worth what you thought they were worth, they're now probably worth more. Mm. And it's absolutely crazy to see what sports franchises have done over the last, say, 40 years. What did they say? That, like, Buss bought the team? Dr. Jerry Buss bought the team for, like, $67 million
or something?
I believe
that was the number, yeah.
Had to use his ex-wife's
co-signer.
I learned that from
Yeah,
I don't know how true it was, but still for a good story.
Well, you just go back to 1984 when the Kings were purchased in Kansas City before they were moved out here. It was for $12 million. So Greg Lukenbill and I mean, they weren't using his money, but you know, like that's who was in charge of that transaction. And you know, I think Joe Benvenuti put up the money. And then everybody else had to kick in their share and stuff. But, like, that's just crazy. I mean, you were talking about something that, you know, again, the Kings are probably worth $4 billion. I don't know what that return on investment is. The calculator in my head is fast, but it's not that fast. But that's all. That's
$525 million was Vivek.
I have
$535 million value.
$535 million, have them at $4.45 billion now.
Oh my God. That's 10 years, 12 years?
Purchased 12. In, 2013.
Goodness.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, that's just absolutely wild. It's absolutely wild. And it's, you know, Spencer here in the chat, he brings up that that Fisher's now decided to list the Earthquakes,
right,
the MLS team for sale. And like why not just sell the A's? Like, clearly he's cash poor, and there's some major concern about what's happening in Vegas. But that's not a good sign for him. And it's not a good sign in the same way it wasn't a good sign when the Maloofs decided to sell their beer distributorship to help pay for part of the build of the towers in Vegas and lost $800 million just being bad business people.
I thought they sold the beer distributorship after the Palms was built.
After the Palms was built, when they went to build the tower next
second
door.
Yeah,
that's what cost them $800 million and sunk their entire family fortune.
Jesus.
Well, not their entire family fortune. Colleen, the mom, she held on to their Wells Fargo stock, and I think they had like at some point they had $425 million in Wells Fargo stock as well.
Man, I'd be thrilled to go broke that way.
Well, look, and in this edition,
so
of
you're not
life,
touching that.
And in this edition of Life Isn't Fair, they're back in the game.
Right. Right.
They took the money that they got, which was only, I think they walked away with less than a little over $200 million of the valuation money, because again they had stakeholders in that. So the valuation was the total valuation of the team at 535. The Maloofs and Bob Heinrich sold, but guys like John Kariotis or Bob Cook, and just there's like a bunch of smaller minority owners. Again, the Benvenuti family, they all still owned their shares, which would, constituted like 48% of the team. So the Maloofs only walked away with a certain amount, and they had a bunch of back money that they had to pay the city and other stuff. So, yeah, crazy.
Something I just thought about as we were talking to James, and maybe you guys have thoughts on this. What does this do for expansion fees? Does the price of an expansion team, has this just gone up another billion maybe in the last hour?
Yeah, the minimum is $5 billion. It's probably up to six. And $6 billion, and you're going to need another.
This sale alone, though, that's what I'm saying. Like, this sale alone might up, because it lifts everything, right? This $10 billion lifts everything.
Okay, help me out. What the expansion fee, what's the expansion fee?
To buy into the league, huh?
But yeah, isn't
the
there
NBA expands?
So, but there's a so is it a percentage of that goes to the owners? Because the owners get paid when it.
I think they just split it up.
They do. It goes into one big pot. The NBA might take a little bit, but the rest of it goes back to the teams, and that's what happened. I mean, if you're going to expand twice, right? If you're going to give two expansion teams, and let's just say let's set it at $6 billion at this point. That $6 billion, and you've got to build like a $2 billion arena each of them. So whoever is in is in for like $8 billion. At that point, what's crazy is that $12 billion will then get redistributed back to the other 30 teams. And what is that, $400 million apiece, something crazy like that for expansion? They'll also lose some of their television money moving forward.
My thought, Dame, to kind of break down what I'm thinking is, maybe when we all woke up today, it was $4 billion to get into the league. An hour ago, that price has changed. Does that?
No, I understand what you mean. I think I thought the expansion. I don't think I knew where the money the owners have to put to get into the league went. That's the money that goes to the owners that are already in existence. My thought is though. Like it's like, I understand it's stunning. The Lakers sold $10 billion. I get that. The Celtics just sold for like a shade over six. You know, the Wichita Bobcats or who, I don't know. I know that's not what it is, but
Bob Johnson back in the game.
He's back. The Las Vegas LeBrons, that's a $6 billion franchise right out the gate.
It feels like it.
Wow.
That's what it costs. Man. That's what it costs, because that's what you can turn around and sell it for, And that's why people keep saying, like, look, the Lakers offered to buy the A's and keep them in the Bay Area. Just sell the team, man. You can't, like, there's a difference between being rich and then being like some of these owners like Lacob. Like, again, John Fisher is, he owns Gap, he owns Banana Republic and Old Navy and Athleta. Like all of those brands, his family owns all of those. But their stock price dipped again. And now, when you have that kind of money, you can lose $100 million in a day. you can lose $200 million in a week. It's not, you know, very uncomfortable, although I would like to be that uncomfortable and still have, you know, a billion or two sitting around.
Hmm. Yeah. Man.
I think
the Luka Doncic era has begun.
I think we did this all live on the air. It came out of nowhere for a lot of us. I think when we go home and we start watching stuff and reading stuff, it's the ramifications in a positive way are going to be massive for this.
So here's a footnote that escaped me earlier, is because you pointed out we're live, pal, and we've been trying to react to this live. We mentioned that Jeannie Buss will remain governor under the terms of the sale, despite the fact that Mark Walter now is the controlling partner. Mm-hmm. All controlling governors representing teams in league meetings need to own at least 15% of the franchise to serve. Mm-hmm. So now we know, at the very least, Jeannie Buss still owns 15% mm-hmm. of the franchise.
Mm-hmm. And we also know for sure that Vivek owns 15%. Because Vivek doesn't own a lot more than that.
I don't think I knew that.
But
who the hell owns the rest of it?
Well, the 15% is the most, though, right? Because there's so many other people. That's 1%, 2%.
But that's the menace to be the minimum to be a governor.
That's the minimum to be a governor. So that it was noted as part of the sale that Jeannie Buss will remain the governor. So that means under NBA rules, she still owns at the very least 15% of the franchise, which also means the cost of the Los Angeles Lakers isn't $10 billion. At best, 85% of the Los Angeles Lakers is $10 billion.
That's crazy, yeah, because she didn't buy it from
herself. And again, that's at best. That means there's two partners, Jeannie and Mark Walter. There might be others that own 2%, 5%, 1%, but we know at minimum $10 billion does not equal 100% of the Los Angeles Lakers.
This money is making my head spin. This is crazy. Yeah.
That's what's crazy too about the Kings ownership. You know, certain people bought in, like initially, like Mark Mastroff had bought in, Andy Miller bought in, Brad Jenkins, all those guys are gone. Like, they've all sold their shares. So, and I believe what they've done when they sell the shares, they basically sell them back to the core group. And then everybody's stock price, stock amount goes up.
Didn't Vivek?
Yeah, that's what I thought. He bought a couple.
Didn't he buy a bunch? Yeah, 3, 4, 5 years ago.
Well, that's what you always hear, that Vivek bought, but it's the group that buys, and then their share amount goes up. So the guy who owned the Raj Bethal has like one of the highest share amounts. The Jacobs brothers, each of them combined, have way more than Vivek, from what I know. John Kariotis is still a partial owner. And, you know, he was a minority owner, like 15 or 20%. When they started building out the arena and all that stuff again, they reconfigured all of the percentages. So Bob Cook's like 7.5%. went into bankruptcy, and then was purchased out of bankruptcy by, again, the core group for like $5 million, like, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago. But like, all of these people own percentages, and the percentage, the Benvenuti family, I think they still own like 15%, like as a group. It's crazy, like how that, not many NBA teams are broken up like the Kings. And then after the Kings did it the way they've done it, there were stipulations put in by the league that you can only have X amount of owners combined. And I think it's like 35 or something. The Kings are owned by like 35 or 40, you know, and people, like, they'll buy in and then they'll cash out. You know, there was a point where
they're
Kevin
treating
Nagel
it as
was,
a stock.
Yeah. 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 There was a point where Kevin Nagel owned his own group of shares, and then Kevin Nagel sold his shares, but he still was part of the Sacramento partnership that owned some shares with guys like Phil Oates. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's chaotic. Yeah.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
So Vivek, I'm sure this is stuff, maybe just jogging my memory. Vivek only bought 65% of the Kings at the time of the Maloof sale. It's not like he bought 100% of the Kings then, or even his group bought 100% of the Kings then. They bought 65% of the Kings. Vivek and that group of buyers. That's what they purchased from the Maloof family.
If it was 65, it might not even been that high. Okay. And the reason why it was, again, it was a Maloofs and it was Bob Heinrich. So mm-hmm. Bob Heinrich shares went in with the, and I think Bob had like 12% or something. So it's possible the Maloofs had like 57%. And then with Bob Heinrich, they had a certain amount. But like where I see someone in this say that Vivek owns 65%, that's not the case. That's not what I've heard at all.
No, I don't. Like, I think I know where they're getting that number from. I think they're misreading it. Vivek didn't purchase 65%. The group that was led by Vivek Ranadive bought 65%. How much is his and how much are the other people who are in the group? Again, that's, what'd you say, 12 years ago, 10, 11, 12 years ago. It's probably not the same, but I don't think I ever realized the percentage of the team that Vivek Ranadive owned was so low. He's not alone in that, by the way. I was looking at other percentages. Like, there's a lot of people we know as owners who own probably a significantly smaller portion of a team than we ever realized.
Right.
Well, that, and like, I know someone says Vivek owns enough shares to make his daughter the GM. First of all, like, I don't know if that's, yeah, he owns a certain amount of shares. He also has like an ironclad that he is the managing partner, regardless of whether he has the most shares or not. And I actually think there was a point where he didn't have the most shares just on his own. I think Raj Bethal had more shares than Vivek, but he's the managing, the chairman of the Sacramento Kings Corporation. And the way the documents are written is he is the chairman, and there's very few ways to remove him. You would need a crazy amount of people to like say, hey, we've had enough. So
the investment group is called Play to Win, and Hammer's 100% right. Nagel, Mostroff, Andy Miller.
Shaq.
Jesus Christ, Kenny.
Brad no, Jenkins. Mitch Richmond. Brad Jenkins. Mitch Richmond had a couple of had shares.
Well, Mark Friedman, those guys, Mitch isn't included in this list. Those are the guys who a handful of years ago sold back to Vivek. Mm-hmm. But as Hammer pointed out, Nagel was still a part of that play to win group that it's local investors that are still involved with the Kings.
Yeah, there's still a group of local investors, and I know Nagel's part of that local.
And for those who haven't figured it out, those are the ones who I think that talk to the media all the time.
They used to.
Yeah.
They put tiers that well they talk to the media for sure, but like whether they have information or not, I don't know. There came a point where they put in tiers of like this group of people know this amount of information. And then the next level down.
It's like media access. It's like the tier one media access, tier two media access.
Yeah.
Nope, only James can go to the locker room, guys. Get out of here.
It's like me and like six people. Yeah. Yeah, they sift it down pretty quick.
Let me ask you guys this. Do you, obviously, Atlanta might sell, but of the big wigs, I'm thinking Warriors, Knicks, now Lakers. Is this the last one to sell? This Lakers? So I don't think Dolan's selling.
Like a big, yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think Lakers selling. You know, who else is up there? Probably maybe Chicago? Is Chicago up there?
Yeah, Chicago's really worth a ton.
That's sold, right? Is that Reinsdorf?
Thanks.
He owns the Bulls.
I think it was. It was. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, the Blazers are about to go up for sale. Mm-hmm. That's something that was built into Paul Allen's will. Mm-hmm. And I actually think they've exceeded the limitations on selling the team. But it's a good thing for them. Although that money goes to charity.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever the Blazers sell for goes to charity.
I'd be pissed off. Dad, are you for real?
There aren't very many teams owned by a single entity. Mm. Like, yeah. The Bulls are one, though, which is interesting.
Is it Reinsdorf?
Jerry Reinsdorf, yeah. Mm. Dan Gilbert owns the Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm skeptical about this, but Ann Walton Kroenke is labeled as the owner for the Denver Nuggets.
Mm.
But it's
the Kroenke family for sure.
Yeah.
It's the son who runs everything.
Fertitta
right?
owns the Houston. Mm-hmm. We were talking about Clay Bennett earlier, your boy Dolan. There's the situation in New Orleans with Gail Benson. Mm-hmm. And, well, DeVos in Orlando. If you don't know, you look it up. It's fine. You don't have to look it up right now. Here, look up DeVos and Department of Education. You'll enjoy it.
Are you for real?
Oh, yeah.
The
DeVos family, but it's bad. They own Amway.
It's bad. They're not celebrating tomorrow.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Tell
that's
Kamara
the
to
that's
to
the
him.
Amway, the Amway people.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. They started out, I don't know, people who remember what Amway is, like a pyramid scheme, like cleaning solutions and stuff that you would sell to your friends. It's like the Mary Kay of cleaning products.
But they, yeah. So
Ted Leonsis does own 100% of the Washington. You talk about poorly respected owners. Ted Leonsis has to be at the top of that list. This man owns the Capitals, the Wizards, and the Mystics, and I think everyone's like,
pfft. Well, the thing also is we've had a renaissance of NBA franchises being bought. Mm-hmm. Like who out there isn't there's some, but I'm just trying to figure out who out there isn't a relatively new owner like the last 10 years. I'm trying to think.
In the NBA?
Yeah, you got the Bombers. You got the Bucks got sold.
I mean,
Indiana's been around for a while.
So you're asking who's new or who's old?
Who kind of because
Dumont's
right?
new, like the Mavs just sold. How does Mark Cuban feel today, by the way?
Like a dunce.
Mm. Well, no, because he didn't sell all of his shares.
He didn't sell all of it. He still owns, I think it was like 20-something%. 20.
That's a good number.
And he got $3 billion, right?
He doesn't.
Yeah, three.
I guess he doesn't feel like a dunce.
Three point something billion. Yeah.
The Timberwolves just sold.
That's right. The, your like, your boy.
There's not a lot of teams.
Oh, yeah.
Where the hell did Alex Rodriguez get this money from?
He got it like that.
No, he doesn't.
That Fox gig. Yeah. Yeah, that Fox gig.
I'm going to just say he probably used the cream on his bank account.
Okay. All right. How much is Mark Lohr worth? He's got
anabolic steroids on his bank account. He just injected steroids into his bank account, and his bank account grew and grew and grew and hit 600 home runs.
That's one of my favorite early D'Lo and Casey moments, is recognizing how much James hates, like absolutely hates with a passion, Alex Rodriguez.
A-Rod's my boy. A-Rod?
Yeah, yeah, I'm not an A-Fraud fan.
The no. bad thing
he just got out there and like just somehow he gets to go talk about baseball like he didn't just cheat the sport like nobody's business.
Because
not only did he cheated twice.
Hold on, because
right on TV,
James. Because anybody with two eyes knows that Alex Rodriguez is one of the greatest prospects we've ever seen in our lives. Like, yes, he cheated. Yes, we get it. But it's not he ain't Brady Anderson. Like, before he started doing this, he was one of the greatest shortstop prospects we had ever seen.
Yeah, but I like we get in this argument all the time, and I'll just keep saying the same thing. If you can tell me the date he started taking steroids, then I'll believe that. But the problem is we don't know the date because college baseball, steroids were rampant in that era.
Well, we don't know what and they was so, doing with greenies in the 70s.
Well, I don't – Well, that's a deep cut, but I'd also say it's fair, but I'd also say we only think we know who else was cheating. Mm. We don't actually know. Mm. This I'm a hammer. I operate under the belief Alex Rodriguez cheated, Barry Bonds cheated. Like, I get that. Mm. I operate under the belief that Major League Baseball was professional wrestling in the 80s. They were all doing it. The dumbest ones got caught. Mm-hmm.
Certainly in the 90s. In the 90s, it got out of control. It really did. And professional football, it ran so rampant.
No, professional football is fine. You didn't hear? They started testing for HGH, and they only caught like a punter.
Yeah.
No, everything's clean in football. Well,
in football and with the Boston Red Sox. Nobody was doing anything with the Boston Red Sox.
Nope, nobody.
Yeah.
Just go back and search for the Lyle Alzado interview when he was 145 pounds.
Man. That's terrible too.
He did
one of those on Arsenio, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, that was so sad. So sad. Yeah, like I'm a baseball purist. I like, except for the DH rule. Like, well, the DH rule's been around since '70s. But I like the game the way it was. It was my team, the A's, that did most of the cheating. It was, you know, Canseco and McGuire that really started a lot of this mess. And then after that, Tejada got caught. A lot of the guys got caught. But I just, you know, it's crappy because baseball is 100% about statistics. Like football, like we know Tom Brady has more passing yards and more touchdowns than anyone else, right? But like not everything in the sport is 100% about statistics. There are, you know, guys who are winners that find ways to win, that don't have great stats, the Terry Bradshaws, Jim Plunkett, Troy Aikman. Like those guys, like fantasy football-wise, are trash. But in real life, they're winners. Baseball is just not that way. Baseball is so, like, you hit 3,000 hits, you're in the Hall of Fame. You strike out 3,000 people, you're in the Hall of Fame. You hit 500 home runs, you're in the Hall of Fame. You get 300 wins, you're in the Hall of Fame. Like, those are, like, benchmarks that they set up and we lived under for 100 years and then all of a sudden, crazy, stupid stuff started happening.
We'll come back. We'll shift our attention back to basketball and back to the Sacramento Kings with our insider from the insiders. It's our man, James Hamm, here with D'Lo and KC on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Just looking up, this isn't Kings-related business unless you really want to get in your feelings, and then it definitely is. You think Tyrese plays tomorrow?
Man, we had a long conversation about this today. Like, I feel so bad for him because, like, this could be the only time in his career he's playing in a game six in an NBA finals or, like, totally. I mean, you just think you get so used to saying, oh, well, I'll be back there again. You know, Dan Marino went to the Super Bowl in his rookie season, never went back again. And that's the way that sports work. I think he's going to try to give it a go, but I also think there's a cat and mouse game that they're doing where they're trying to like act like he's going to play. And then in the end, there's a good chance he won't. If he goes out there and plays, it's literally one of the largest risks that I've ever seen, especially for a 26-year-old. Are you willing to give up, you know, an entire year of your career, the potential of giving up an entire year to go out there and play? Are you willing to risk, you know, maybe never becoming the player that you thought you were going to be because you went out there and played in a game that you weren't healthy enough to play in? And calf injuries are so dangerous. And, you know, we've all talked about this before, but years ago when Kevin Durant was hurt and they brought him back for the finals, and then, you know, the Warriors came out and said, hey, he can't do any more damage. And that just wasn't the case. Like, I had someone reach out with a lot of knowledge about this specific thing and said, that is the most irresponsible statement I've ever heard in my entire life. Like, the calf is what supports the Achilles. You walk out onto the court, you're risking a rupture every time. The Achilles can't support itself. It's a tendon. It's not a muscle. And so you walk out there with that in mind, and bad things can happen. And sure enough, like, being in Toronto when that whole thing played out was one of the most horrific things ever. Watching Rudy Gay tear his Achilles in Sacramento, it's just heartbreaking because you know that, like, these guys, it doesn't matter what player it is outside of Kyle Kuzma, who I guess just decided he's going to start practicing way harder during the summer. Yeah. Outside of that, most of these guys, they do take this serious. They do play year round. They work their butts off to get better, to work on their bodies. And something like this can happen so quickly, and you just feel for them because you're never the same after an Achilles. And, you know, we saw it with Kobe. We saw it with even Kevin Durant is still a great player, but he's just not the same defensively or anything else.
I would definitely advise Tyrese Halliburton not to play for the rest of the series. The calf strain, it's two things for me. Well, maybe three. You got the bigger injury risk for sure. But number one, it's not going to get better within the next week. Like, it's just not.
No, it's not going to get better within the next month.
No. And number three, you're not going to be, like, good enough. It'd be one thing if you were you were at risk, but you could get out there and you could still be Tyrese Halliburton. You're going to be super hampered. And there's no upside outside of just playing. Like, there's no upside. You almost got to treat it a little bit.
Can I steal a line from you?
Yeah.
You might never be back here again.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, that sucks.
So okay, tough.
But that's life. Yeah, I almost treat it like...
I'm not advocating for him to play or not. I'm just presenting a different side. Like, he may never be back here again.
It sucks. But it's almost... I think of it like Chris Paul. Chris Paul at the time was like, I may never get another chance to go to the finals. Yeah. But my groin is hurt. I can't play.
No, I heard it. No, I heard
it. I got it right.
No, I don't. No, you didn't. No, you absolutely didn't. You absolutely did not. You didn't. I love how quickly you said it. But no, I don't know. It's fine. But it is this show's greatest thing that you can't say that word.
You're growing.
But he's like, I can't play.
Yeah.
Like, I just can't.
Yeah. Hey, let me lay out the worst scenario is that he does play. He pops his Achilles and they lose anyways.
Yeah.
That's on the table. Like, it's right there. And you're like, man, I don't want to see anything like that happen. Ty's too good of a young player. I feel for him. You know, they better be sure that he's healthy enough. And just so people know, it's not just that, hey, the calf doesn't hurt anymore. That's step one.
Yeah.
Like, letting the calf heal is step one. Step two is rebuilding the strength in the calf, because it's not like a lot of the other muscle groups. Mm. It's not nearly as strong as you would think, and that's what just makes it super tough.
This is where it's just really unfair to Ty. I said this hammer the day after game five. This should really be a Rick Carlisle decision. You want to make an informed decision with Tyrese Halliburton, with your doctors, Perhaps you even involve your general manager. You involve his agent. You involve the major players in this. But in the end, there, and I know you don't believe in this, KC, as much as I do. Like, there is a point where, and I know what you just advocated for, you have to protect your player. Mm-hmm. Like, Ty, I know you want to play. Ty said, if I can walk, I can play. Not so fast, dog. Yeah.
Well, not so fast. Carlisle is different than the trainers. He's got the ultimate control.
No, for sure.
I can just not put you in the game.
But definitely. But I also think Rick Carlisle wants to win a championship too. Like, he wants to win a championship for himself, for this group. I'm okay having these discussions with other people. Like, and I don't know that this is Hammer. You are the injury expert here, but I don't know if there's grades of tears and strains and things like that. But, you know, if there's 90% of probability, like, you could hurt it more or suffer some other. I always worry about the overcompensation part. Mm. Like, we talk about the Achilles tearing where he's got the calf strain. Yeah. He blows out his ACL because he's running differently. Or hurt something on his other leg because he's doing something differently because he's trying to protect the strain and the Achilles on the other side. Like, I feel like these are all conversations you have to have with the doctor before you discuss anything with Ty. Right. And I don't know. I always have a tough feeling with team doctors because they want to win too, but you at least hope in most cases they'll protect their patient above all else. But it's a tough situation, man. It's a tough situation for all of them.
Well, and look at Tatum. Tatum didn't even have a calf strain, and he went out there and popped his Achilles. Like, it can happen. Like, yeah. It's a very, very delicate, tough injury. I would say the one thing about Ty is that he's not an above-the-rim player. He's not a super explosive player. He uses craftiness and everything else, but that doesn't change. He can take one bad step. He can take a bad step in his house, like just walking up a flight of stairs, and have that thing pop. And like, he's in a bad spot. And that's why a lot of times they put a boot on it and they say, okay, we're not doing anything until you're close. And then we're going to start rebuilding. And, you know, the guy in Sacramento that this has happened to, the calf strain so many times, it's Trey Lyles. Like, that dude is probably 3 calf strains during his time here. And each of them take a different amount of time, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. But it's not like, hey, he can't play tonight, but he might be able to play on Sunday or something. That's not the case.
And the toughest part to me with all of this is you don't have to win one game. You have to win two. Yeah. Like, the ultimate goal is 2 more wins. And that itself might not be worth it. If you get out there and you somehow can get through tonight without Ty, which seems crazy, but hey, they're in Indiana, things happen. Tomorrow night, excuse me, maybe you can get it done there. But then you have the conversation all over again going into Sunday's game. But the fact you have to do this, if you win tonight, you've got to do this twice. That makes this even more murky for me.
It kind of reminds me a little bit of a boxing situation where one of the boxers would say one of the cardinal sins for their corner is to throw in the towel. Deontay Wilder, his lifelong trainer, he cut off during the second Tyson Fury fight because he threw the towel in on him. And he said, if I'm going to go out, I want to, you know, they got the warrior mentality and all this other stuff. And the coach had been with him 20 years.
Yeah.
And he threw the towel in on him. And what he would say is, if you hate me for the rest of your life, I can live with that. I can't live with you not being here or not being able to see your kids and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't want to make it super dramatic for Ty, but like Rick Carlisle might have that same type of conversation. Like, if you're mad at me for the rest of your career, Tyrese, I can live with that. If you ruin your leg, you know, because of a game in a series, to your point, it's in all reality, it's a little bit of a long shot with how your health is right now. I can't deal with that. I'd much rather you be mad at me and be healthy than just let you do whatever and potentially affect your entire career.
Yeah. It's tough, man. Hopefully all parties involved make the right decision tomorrow night. Game 6 of the NBA Finals. You could catch it here on ESPN 1320. James, KC really wants Domantas Sabonis out of here.
That's not true.
Okay, maybe that's not entirely true. But, man, I mean, trade proposals, ideas, thoughts have been all over the place. Is there a proposal to you that would get your attention with Domantas Sabonis? Like, we had centered it, this was a very brief discussion, by the way. We had centered it on the lottery, and New Orleans had come up. And is there a lottery pick? Is there a pick high, you know, like a realistic pick high enough? Is there a trade package that you would listen to for Domantas Sabonis, or are you steadfast on the idea this can work if you put the right guys around him?
Well, I think both things can be true. I think this works if you put the right pieces around it, but I
actually agree
are,
with you on that, by the way. I know we give you a hard time about that line. I actually agree with you on that.
Yeah, I think there are avenues that can help this team and help someone else. So, you know, like we do our fake trades on the insiders. We have our real trades and our real trade discussions, but then every day we've been doing fake trades. And I think my trade yesterday was, you know, if you sent Domas to Toronto for what was it? Emmanuel Quickly, Jakob Poeltl, and the number 9 pick.
Oh yeah, TC told us about that. Yeah,
he did. He did. Didn't give you any credit for it, but he told us all about it.
There's also like there's been murmurs about some sort of potential deal that could materialize with the Pelicans. Something like. What do they have? The number 7 pick to go with Herb Jones and then one of their like $30 million contracts. So whether it was CJ McCollum's expiring contract or, you know, again, I don't know that you can get Trey Murphy out of there, but something like that. You know, I think DeJounte Murray coming back off an Achilles tear. He's a player that might be available and again, kind of fits the salary dollar amount. So some of those things would like I'd at least listen if I'm the Kings. But like you got to remember, like I've yet to name a player that's anywhere as good as Domantas Sabonis. And that means that you're giving up the best player in every single one of those deals. And even if you're getting back the 7th pick or the 9th pick, that doesn't guarantee you're going to get a player that actually works out. You hope you do. You know, again, if it was the first pick or the 2nd pick, I'm all in, like it's go time. But, you know, you get to 7 or you get to 9 and, you know, Davion Mitchell was the 9th pick. You don't want me to list all the 7 picks in Sacramento Kings history, but, you know, it starts with like Lionel Simmons and Walt Williams and Bobby Hurley and Jason Williams. And, you know, there have been so many 7 or 8 picks like Nick Stauskas, Ben McLemore, Willie Cauley-Stein, I think was number 6. Like there's no guarantee that you're getting a real player at those points in the draft. And, so it's tough. You know, again, if you're going to give up an all NBA center, let's just put him at like top 20 player in the league. That means that like there are 10 teams out there that don't have a player as good as Domantas Sabonis on their team, you know, and that's just the reality. I mean, the dude leads the league in rebounding every year. He can get you between 6 and 8 assists per game on average. He's a great field goal percentage. He's a guy. He shot over 40% from 3. He averaged almost 20 points a game. Like he's a really, really, really good player. And if you're not getting back anywhere near that caliber of player, which none of the deals that we just brought up, you are getting back for sure, then that's tough.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
I, for real, like, would be fine if DeMontis Sabonis stayed on this team and you worked with trying to put team guys around him, because everything you said is 100% correct, Hammer. He is one of the top players in the league. But think about this, though. If that trade that you just kind of mentioned a little bit, I'm just hypothetically mentioned, goes through, and a DeMar trade goes through, you would be moving on from Sabonis and DeRozan, and let's just say Devin Carter, and getting the 7, the 20, Jaime Jaquez, DeJounte Murray, and Herb Jones. That's pretty good. That's like, if they were able to have that type of summer with those two trades, it's not bad. I don't think.
No, I get it. It's not horrible, but where are they going to find another all-NBA player? And that's where I always come down to, you know, like, again, you guys know, like, I don't believe that DeMar DeRozan was a good fit in Sacramento before the sign and trade. And I did not think it was a good move all the way through the season. That doesn't change the fact that that dude's a surefire Hall of Famer, 6-time All-Star. And he went out there and, despite, you know, the chaos of the season, put up 22 points and played, 74 games or something. Mm-hmm. Like, you're giving up. I would even go this far. If DeMontis Sabonis and DeMar DeRozan are gone, and the package of players that we just talked about are coming back this way, like, you gave up the best two players in the trade, and those trades, and that's tough. You know, it doesn't matter how much you think about DeMar DeRozan, still averaged 22 points a game, still went out there and played every single night that he could. And, you know, it's tough. He was efficient, you know.
Yeah, it's tough. But then the books are clear, and you've got two young guys that, you know, hopefully.
What are we going to do with clear books?
Trades, you can take back money.
Absorb salary.
Yeah.
Give away first round picks to go get another guy that could be as good as DeMontis. That's a tough thing, man. Like, you're Sacramento. Like, there are three ways to improve a team: the draft, free agency, and trades. And Sacramento's excluded from one of those. They don't get to participate in free agency the same way that everyone else does, or that, you know, probably 18 teams in the league do, maybe 20. You're in this little subset of teams that don't get to participate really in free agency in the same way that other teams do. And that's just because nobody wants to come to Sacramento. because of their reputation, because of their long history of losing and California taxes, all the chaos, everything else. So tough world.
It is. Is there a, we'll talk about this more like on Friday, but is there a situation, like, do the Kings have to force a DeMar DeRozan trade?
No,
like he,
I don't think so.
Because you mentioned this just a second ago, like he averages 22, like he's a good basketball player, but it's like a foregone conclusion. He's gone. Like, are we, I understand fit. I understand things that went wrong, all of that, but are we sure he's gone?
No. No, no. I think there's a high likelihood, but we have been on, you know, and not only us, but everyone in Sacramento has been operating on the same notion that he won't be back. Look, I will continue to say the same exact thing I said about Davion Mitchell. There is nothing wrong with DeMar DeRozan as a basketball player. The only thing that is wrong is the fit in Sacramento. Davion Mitchell is an exceptional defender. He just doesn't, he didn't fit. He didn't fit the system. And you're not going to change your system for one player. And, you know, unless that player is LeBron James, then you go ahead and change your system. But outside of that, like, there's not a lot of players you change your entire system for. So it's tough.
These things don't always matter. But, like, knowing here in Sacramento, like, what's going on, it was just, like, interesting to see. I'm sure you saw the picture of DeMar's workout yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's Doug Christie,
yeah,
Zach LaVine,
yeah,
and Mason Jones all getting together in Los Angeles to work out. And I think we all, if we put a couple dollars on it in Vegas, we'd say he's gone. But I don't know. Like, he's hanging out with some of these guys.
I agree. Like, it, you know, optically, it's certainly interesting. I also think Hoopers Hoop. It's a fraternity. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
Doug Christie was crazy, though. That was the part that was...
Doug out there teaching him all the wrong things. No, no, no. It's try this instead. And, yeah.
It's,
no, I get it.
It's Carl Anthony Towns working out with Tibbs.
Well, no one's working out with Tibbs, to be to be clear.
I don't think that guy works out, let alone anyone else with him.
Carl Anthony, yeah. That's going to launch a different discussion, but yeah, I'm with you, Hammer. That was an interesting. It was definitely an interesting photo that was circulating. But like we've written this all. I think part of it is too. We know what it looked like last year. I don't think much has changed. Salary isn't an issue for a team like the Clippers.
Right.
It's not an issue for a team like the Heat. It's not an issue for a team like the Lakers, because you could do a trade. Like, this is different than signing him outright as a free agent. You shed salary, you get salary. Like, you could make that work more than you could a scenario where you could offer DeMar DeRozan $3 million to come in. So we believe those suitors will be there. We believe there's more suitors out there for DeMar DeRozan. He's an easy fit with a lot of teams. I think that's part of the reason why we just... It's not going to be difficult to trade him. If the Kings really wanted to, like, they can. Mm-hmm. I just kind of get stuck on, like, maybe they're not.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I think they are, but I don't know. Maybe they're not.
Yeah. And I just want to, like, Aaron here in the chat, in his opinion, everyone on this team can go let Perry succeed or fail with his own vision. I got to be honest. Perry can succeed or fail with his own vision, including some of these players that you just want to have go. So again, both things can be true. Like he can succeed here if he has the right pieces. So not everybody has to go. I get it that Aaron is done with everybody on this roster, but that doesn't mean that basketball people are done with everybody on this roster, and the basketball people can go get better players than what they're offering, than what they have to trade. And that's just a tough reality.
He could also mean, and I'm not going to speak for Aaron, but I'll take his words and maybe manipulate him a bit and say more, yeah, like everyone can go. Not you have to get rid of everyone, but if someone calls about DeMar, you listen. If someone calls about Domas, you listen. If someone calls about Keegan, you listen. Like, no one, No one's name is written on the roster board in Sharpie.
Right.
They're all erasable marker. They're all
Vlade's erasable.
Vlade's, yeah. Vlade's vision white board. Yeah.
Right next to the picture of the Vlad father.
In wrestling, we'd call him such a mark. Remember, we're off tomorrow. James and Kyle, they're going to celebrate Juneteenth, so that's going to be awesome. We'll be out tomorrow. We'll all be back with you on Friday. Yes, we have a regular show from 12 to 4 in addition to our live show at Sky River Casino. So make your plans to be with us Friday night at 7 o'clock. Have a great day off if you have it. But either way, we will see you back here beginning at 10 a.m. on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Vamos Laguna Gray!
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Grede, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grede, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grede, an Audacy podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.